that tasted like a can of SpaghettiOs sauce.
Yeah, like Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, like Chef Boyardee, exactly.
Yeah, just,
I wonder if I can find a way to, like, spray my semen on her face even when I'm not there.
Yeah, it's like a moral fucking dilemma.
It's an AIDS advertisement.
Oh, this is god awful.
Not the booze.
This is not amateur hour. Episode 168, Nolan here.
Hello. Jay here.
No one else is participating.
No one.
Wait, do I have sound? Yeah, I have sound. I almost can't tell.
I feel like naked over
really
here without my headphones. Yeah.
Flying. All right, so you were starting today. What do you got?
So I was driving in the car the other day and Sweet Child O' Mine came on the radio. And I like had this weird flashback to a time when, I was like in elementary school, but I certainly wasn't like a baby or anyone that would be getting like songs sung to them at night, right? Like nobody that you're going to be like singing to sleep
as a baby.
So
no
so
shit.
So my mom would sing me "Sweet Child O' Mine," like. I don't know, in like this, soothing, like
you really
nurse...
hit the O hard in that.
Sweet child, oh mine,
yeah,
oh mine.
It's like it's
sweet child, mine.
Yeah, because it's like of, but they're just like taking off the F, like it's slang, like sweet child of mine.
Are is it?
Yeah.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
You pronounce it so hard.
You just blew my mind.
I mean, think of the chorus. Like he's not saying oh.
Isn't he? Sweet child, oh my, right? Like now I'm going to sound awful singing on the podcast.
That's going to be the whole intro next week.
This is why I don't listen to the podcast. You just pushed me back into a hole. So as like an 8 or 9 year old kid, like my mom who also would like drop me off.
Take the whole song. I'm just going to edit you into the chorus.
So my mom loves Guns N' Roses. Maybe I should start there, right? Like, so much so, she would...
As do all red-blooded Americans.
She would drop me off at elementary school in her Firebird with the T-tops down, right, off.
Yeah.
With, like, Appetite for Destruction playing.
Right.
And, you know, later, User Illusions 1 and 2 came out, and she would sing me Sweet Child O' Mine, like...
Yeah.
When now looking back, I feel like I was a little...
It's like easily one of the greatest songs ever fucking written.
It is, but I hear it and it tugs at my heart a little bit. And I think I realized why, like I had buried this memory of, as like an 8, 9 or 10 year old boy, like having my mom sing me Sweet Child of...
Sure.
Mine?
Yeah.
Sweet Child of Mine. Yeah, so then it got me thinking about, like, I guess Guns N' Roses. So
sure.
So I'm sitting there thinking of all these really weird moments my life have had with Guns N' Roses due to Deborah. And I was thinking about the first album that I was given, like the first album I owned was Guns N' Roses, of course, The Spaghetti Incident.
Yeah.
And it feels, with hindsight, it feels now like such a colossal bullshit, like, fuckery.
Album?
Well, the fact that that was my first album because
why?
Because they had been on such a tear with these like amazing albums, like three amazing albums in a row, and then they put out this like turd called the Spaghetti Incident
because they had Lies.
Sure, okay.
So they
and they put out this like sloppy turd like that Axl Rose and whatever were fighting through and like became this emo like I don't know. And it just feels really deflating now because I've never listened to that again.
I like that album. I mean, it's a covers album.
Is it?
The Spaghetti Incident?
I feel like it. Yeah, I listened to it like once or twice as a kid.
They cover Soundgarden. They cover Buick McCain. They cover fucking Johnny Thunder. Like every song on there is a cover.
I listened to it. At the same time, I was given Aerosmith, the album with the cow on the cover.
Get a Grip.
Yes, yep. Get a Grip. I was given those two albums, both of which were like largely unremarkable to me. So I
love both of
like,
those albums.
Looking back, I'm kind of surprised I appreciate music as much as I do because I really hate both
this
of those
albums.
This
is such a wild fucking statement. Both of those albums are phenomenal.
Maybe I'll have to, maybe like.
So, all right. So everybody hated the Spaghetti Incident when it came out. Like the only fucking song on there that like anybody seemed to like was, fucking, oh my God.
I can't think of any songs from there.
I don't have plans and schemes.
I don't have you.
Since I don't have you. Yeah. Fucking, that was like the only thing that got any airplay, but every song on there was good. Fucking,
I
can't put your arms around a memory.
I couldn't recall
Big Dumb
any
Sex,
of the
like
songs
every
at all.
Fucking song on there was great. People didn't like it because it was a covers album. They didn't want to hear Guns N' Roses. But Guns N' Roses did a cover on every album they fucking had. Like fucking, God damn it.
Welcome to the
shit.
Jungle.
No,
I can't think.
No.
I really can't think of any other covers that they do. Or
God damn it, it's a fucking Bob Dylan song. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Oh yeah, okay.
Like that's a cover. Like they do. They've done a cover on every album. If you were like, my first album was Chinese Democracy, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Well, so that's it. So like, okay, so following up to the spaghetti incident, like 30 years later was Chinese Democracy, which was another turd. So
terrible.
So it's like they put out these like great albums.
Well, that wasn't even Guns N' Roses. It was like some weird band with
Axl
Rose
and
as
his
the
homies.
Singer, and he was like, well, this is Guns N' Roses, but it was fucking Buckethead.
By then he had like a fat face too, like a real fat,
yeah,
ugly
he
face.
Looks like a lesbian gym teacher now.
Before I, like, one of the last times I looked on Twitter, he hates Donald Trump, apparently, and he would, like, go out and rage about all these, like, topics, right? But he's like a child, like a petulant child on the internet with, like, all capital letters and incorrect spellings and everything, like, you too, like the letter U and number two.
Yeah.
Like he's one of those people with like multiple exclamation points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would be, I saw him getting quoted on like MSNBC like back in the day. His big fat face.
He's hard to take, but he's still Axl Rose. So I don't know.
I did like that since I can't have you or since I don't have
but
you.
But fucking Get a Grip. Like I can't believe, dude, that album was phenomenal. Dude, that album defined that fucking era.
I guess so. It just like it was
like the last hard rock album that wasn't like a Seattle grunge, because it was like it happened fast, right? Like it was the hair metal thing, and then it was the like Seattle thing and alternative, like finally broke, and then like right, it was like that was like 91, 92. And then by like 96, it was all fucking like hardcore and punk was like all of a sudden mainstream.
Yeah.
That's when like you would hear like fucking, you know, like NoFX and like Bad Religion on like MMR and fucking Helmet on YSP. Like it was fucking Korn fucking blew up. Like, you know, and then it was like Korn and Limp Bizkit and like whole fucking thing. Like it happened really fast and like, that Get a Grip album was like the last hard rock album of like the generation. The whole fucking Alicia Silverstone fucking thing and Crazy and like that album made other people famous just because they were in the videos. It was so fucking big.
Yeah, that's true. She wasn't really anybody until she was in that, huh?
No, she was just like, she was in an Aerosmith video and then all of a sudden she was the biggest actress in the world.
I just remember feeling like very, like I had a Walkman.
And then she went on to sell vibrators when she ran out of money and wasn't like young and hot anymore.
No, I had a Discman. They're very different things, right?
Yeah.
So I had a Discman and I had two CDs and I just didn't care for either of them. Like, I don't know how I really like gained such a reverence for music when it was so horribly disappointing to me.
Wait,
to begin.
But then, were they the first two albums you had or the first two CDs you had?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because, like,
I guess I did have.
I know
a
what the
or
first
two.
Couple CDs I got are, but I had a ton of shit on cassette.
You know, I guess they were the first CDs I had.
Yeah.
That's a different thing. It's a very different statement.
Because I had, like, Appetite and both Use Your Illusions. I had a bunch of fucking Def Leppard stuff.
I did. You know, I guess my
all on cassette.
My old brain is like not being able to differentiate any longer the CD, the difference between CDs and cassette tapes.
I know the first CD I got was Grave Dancers Union from Soul Asylum.
Okay.
And like quickly followed by What the fuck's the name of the album? Throwing Copper by Live, which I stole my dad's Infiniti and drove down to Arts Discount CDs to buy fucking Throwing Copper because I wanted to hear Lightning Crashes, and came back home and never got caught. No one ever knew I took the fucking car, including my dad, who was home the whole time. It didn't fucking look out the window and go, oh, my car is gone.
It's like,
but I guess it was so close to his house that it, you know,
that
I was
that,
like in and out.
That record store was a front for the mob, right? Like it had to have been the record store you're talking about. Yeah.
No, Art was, well, unless it was a Jewish mob.
Huh. I always thought he was like, it just didn't seem like he was like, I don't know. I don't think he ever sold records.
A legit person?
Yeah, legit person.
Dude, he was the guy who would sell you, like, when stuff was like, this comes out, because everything always comes out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, Tuesday, this album drops. And, like, that's literally where the phrase drops come from, because it's drop shipping. So fucking every album would be drop shipped on like a Monday night so that you would open the boxes and put it out on Tuesday. But Art didn't give a fuck. You'd walk in there, he'd be like, I hear this is coming out in 2 weeks. He's got in the back. I don't give a shit.
He would sell it. He would put a sticker over it.
And it would be open.
This is for promotional purposes only.
Every fucking CD was open. You could not buy a CD in fucking wrapper there. Why was every CD open?
I have no idea. I really thought he was like the mob.
I just don't think so. He was a fucking strange fucking guy.
Yeah, he was. He really was.
And then like the kids that worked there that were like, oh, they're probably like 17, 18 when we were like 12, 13,
yeah.
I guess. So they were always, like, older kids, but, like, you got to know them, and they gave, like, less of a fuck than Art did, because they were the employees. So he had, like, no rules to begin with, and they were breaking what little rules he had. So if he wasn't there, it was, like, an absolute shit show. They would just be like, take it. Like, they didn't even fucking care about ringing you up. He's like, the Art doesn't know what's here. Just take this shit. Watch, he's probably like the one person who listens to this podcast and now he's like kicking himself in the ass.
He's gonna come knock at your door now.
Being like, these fucking kids gave away my CDs.
No, so you know, I had some cassette tapes. Like, I won this, like, back on the boardwalk one time. I spun a wheel and won a cassette tape or something, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, pick any album you want from this thing or whatever. So I walked back to where my parents were on the beach, and I had like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood, Sugar, Sex, and Magic.
Yeah.
And it had the word sex in it. And I was like 8 or 9. And my parents were like, no.
Yeah.
Take that back and exchange it for something else. So I came back with Criss Cross's Jump.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that. I had the fucking, I had the Warm It Up single.
Oh, my God. Oh, I think I had the whole album with like, I Missed the Bus and other classic hits like Jump or
fucking
whatever.
Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em by MC Hammer.
If my parents only knew, like, Criss Cross, what they really were.
I have these fucking memories now of my cassette collection. Fucking To the Extreme by Vanilla Ice. Fucking The Fat Boys. I had Onyx.
Yeah. Oh, Onyx, yeah.
I had fucking, I had Loser, that like, just the single by Beck.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, like, flipped out because the chorus is, Why Don't You Kill Me? And she's like, you can't fucking have this, and tried to take it from me. And her and my dad got in a big fight about if I could listen to it or not.
Music, like, consumption is so different now. There's, like, it's just, like, at 12:01 a.m., somebody puts out an album, and it's all over Spotify and iTunes.
It's
like, instantly available to everybody.
I mean, the whole business model is something fucking different. Like, used to, like, there's basically not, I'm talking out of my ass here. There's basically not, like, A&R departments. I mean, there are.
Like representation, you mean?
Yeah, like artist and repertoire departments, because like it used to be like the business model used to be like up through the 90s, really, was like people are like Napster ruined everything, but it wasn't. It was actually like Apple that fucking destroyed the industry with iTunes because you can get a single song. So like the whole like idea was like you discover a band, you sign the band, and you're banking on them to like bankroll you for the rest of your career, right? So like you go out and you find this band playing a fucking bar or a local club, and you're like, these guys are amazing, everyone would love them. You fucking sign them. You say, I'm going to give them like $30,000 to record an album. So you give them a cash advance. And like what nobody ever understood was like a record deal isn't money. It's a loan. It's just like a bank loan. So whatever you fucking get paid to record an album, you have to make back. Mm-hmm. And if you don't make it back, you still owe that money and the record company would drop you. So that's like why they would sell merch, right? But mm-hmm. like the goal is like you find somebody who you think is really good. You sign them to a deal, like X amount of albums. Like you got to give me like 5 albums or whatever over a certain amount of time. So there's like, so that's why like if you remember, like they would be like, oh, I still owe the company like one more album or whatever.
That's why like live albums exist, right?
That's why live albums yeah. exist. And like, and so then that would be written in the contracts, like X amount, like certain percentage new material. Like you remember like when you would like read articles about like your favorite band fighting with the record company, it'd be like, we're going to give them this, what, like fucking, there was a the Glassjaw album, their second album, which was on Warner Brothers. They were like, fuck Warner Brothers, we're recording this album just so they have an album. We have like 5 more tracks. We're not putting on it because fuck them. You're only going to get it live and we're going to self-release this because we're like our obligations fulfilled once they have these songs. Mm-hmm. So you had to pay back the money that they invested, but the goal of the record company and specifically the A&R guy who would always take a cut of everything you make is these guys I think are going to be big and for like the next 15 years... they're going to put out like 5 albums and I'm going to make money every time there's airplay, every time there's a concert, every time like whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, so like you would put out a single and the single would lead the album so that that would like get your attention. You go by the single and then there's like B-sides. The B-sides make you like interested in the rest of the album. You go buy the album. But then what happened was iTunes came along and it's like
99 cents, right?
Per track.
Yeah.
I can buy a track. I don't have to buy the album. So the entire business model went 100% to singles and then it went digital. So now there's no airplay. So you're not getting fucking royalties. Mm-hmm. So they started signing bands to what's called, because I remember like this all like really was happening like around the time where we got signed. There's this company called One by One. That mm-hmm. we got signed to. I feel I'm probably like over talking because then like identities can be researched. There was this company called One by One that was like a subsidiary of Universal Records that was like all of their like hardcore and metal mm-hmm. acts. So we got signed to that and the guy who we were working with, who we know, I would be shocked if you didn't know him because he was from our area and he's still in the industry now. He like does like videography for a bunch of metal bands, like records their tours and stuff.
Okay.
But he was like, you know, this whole thing is going to go away. Like we're going to pay for the album. You have to sell enough to pay us back. And like, that sucks. But also bands are starting to get signed to 360 deals. And that means the record company, they know they can't make money off of like your airplay. Cause it's all satellite radio. Like satellite radio pays no royalties mm-hmm. because it's not terrestrial. So because it's broadcast through space, they don't have to pay to people on Earth.
That's exact. You know,
it's fucking insane, right?
It reminds me of that's the way the Pirate Bay operates. They have, yes. They use satellite servers to host all
is
their
Pirate
their
Bay
websites.
Still around. I yeah. thought it was completely shut down. Nope.
They use space servers. Basically.
That's insane.
Yeah, sorry.
And then, you know, so satellite radio is not terrestrial, so it didn't pay
that's wild to me
the
too.
Artist royalties. And then the royalties on crazy. Streaming services are so much lower than that on radio that, and because that's like how like 98% of music is consumed, like there's no money for an artist. So now they sign them to what they call a 360 deal. So now the record company does all of your merchandise and owns most of that and actually takes the money from your tour because they wouldn't make money off you touring before. They would make money off the album sales. The artist didn't make money off the album sales until the album was paid back. They would take residuals and it would take much less than the record company, but they would make all of their money from touring. Mm-hmm. And now they don't even make fucking money off of that. So it's like, unless you're going to an indie fucking show or like an old, unless you are going to a completely DIY show or a very long-term, very established artist, your money's not going to the people making the music, which is fucking wild. It's completely different.
I still can't get over the fact that you're saying that satellite radio escapes having to pay royalties because they're
broadcasting
from
Earth.
Space.
Yes. You can receive the signal here, but you don't have to pay them the royalties because you're not broadcasting their material. It's just like, you know, if somebody licenses a business in, fuck, he's like, I was going to say another country, but like a different state. Like mm-hmm. if I start like, you know, fucking Pimple Nose Shoes, I don't know why that's the name I came up with, and registered it in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You could go register the same name in Pennsylvania and do business under that name, and I can't say shit. You have to like have the copyright and trademark because a trademark is national, but you have to have the business registered wherever you're doing business or it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant company I know out of Boston that is, they're called Border Cafe. Everywhere they are except New Jersey, because there's just like this like mom and pop operation called Border Cafe, and they have to operate under a completely different name in New Jersey.
Huh.
It's really fucking crazy. So, you know, so they came up with a different name.
Yeah.
And they operate under that. And
that's kind
of
like
the people who go to their restaurant in like North Jersey have no idea that it is the same restaurant or like even has like a sister brand.
Yeah.
All over the rest of the country and have a different name.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Registration's a fucking crazy thing.
Yeah. No shit.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I couldn't see the time, so I didn't know where we were.
Are you trying to hit the post?
No. Well, no. I'm just trying to... I just realized we have been, like, talking for a while, and I didn't see the clock because we switched everything.
Oh.
Like, 100... Like, this True. Isn't even... Yeah.
This fancy new digs.
Completely different.
Same couch, fancy new dig, everything else.
Right? A lot of it. But, I mean, the whole recording setup is...
Yeah, no, much...
Something else, and it's a newer computer, which means the software had to be updated, which means I had to restart everything from scratch, and it is what it is.
I wonder if the end result is going to come through. Like, I do feel a little bit more inspired by the art on the wall right there, so...
Do you?
I mean, kind of, yeah. It's, like, a little more, like, funky in here now. I feel like it's, like, a little more, like, a studio vibe a little bit.
Well, it's also, like, cleaner. It's, like...
Oh, yeah, that could be something, too.
Yeah, this, like, this place's primary function is as a studio control room, but I also work in here, like, 4 days a week, so shit just piles up, like, my fucking paperwork, my... You know, my miscellaneous shit just gets collected in here. But yeah.
The new After Dittermans studio? So yeah.
It is right. Basically a revised studio.
ADMS.
It does like, it feels better.
We got to get some sponsors for this motherfucker now.
We do. I spent money on this studio.
Sponsored
this
by?
Sponsored by fucking no one. We used to have sponsors.
Calm Lip Balm.
Yeah. Let's bring it back.
We need some sponsors.
But, all right, let's call this one. And
the end of our panhandling?
Yeah. We'll, okay. We'll panhandle and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Next week.
This is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That's like, is it?
I was interviewing my father about the way he wipes his ass. That tasted like a can of spaghetti-o sauce.
Yeah, like Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, like Chef Boyardee, exactly. Yeah, I wonder if I can find a way to, like, spray my semen on her face even when I'm not there.
Yeah, it's like a moral fucking dilemma.
It's an AIDS advertisement.
Oh, this is god awful.
Not the booze.
This is not amateur hour.